Oh, I thought we need a little jig about. Been sitting there a long time, hey? So let's just open our hands out and say, Holy Spirit, come and fill us afresh. Holy Spirit, come and be amongst us as we read about you in today's reading. May you be real to us here today. Amen. So over the past couple of weeks, we've been talking about sharing Jesus, of what it's like to share Jesus. And it's part of our vision and values as a church, that we'll be a church that doesn't just talk about it, but we live it. We live in an encounter with God, that we operate in a place where we leak the presence of God. It's our vision and value of every person, every place being saturated with the presence of God. That this doesn't just happen on a Sunday, but this happens in our everyday lives, that we'll be filled to overflowing with the goodness of God. That we are a people, we are a church that pursue, that we go after, we grab hold of and pursuing an encounter with God. That we are a people that have received something from God, haven't we? We're not here on empty, we've received something from God. And that's what it is to share Jesus, is that we'd simply share what we've received. If we've received joy, go and share the joy. If we've received peace, go and share the peace. If you've received love, go and share that love. We are filled to give away, that we have an encounter with God and we live out of that encounter. So I want to pose to us today that we are the living tabernacles of the glory of God. We are. I am. You are. The living tabernacle, moving from this place into all the places of where you're at, your living tabernacle, the glory of God. And I truly, truly believe that some people are just one encounter away from their life being completely transformed in Jesus. It could be one word away of them completely being changed. And I think, and I truly believe, that every single one of us possess that encounter in which could change someone's life. That you carry the presence of God. So where you go, he goes. Where he goes, you go. You can't separate from God, because you are the living tabernacle of the glory of God. How does that make you feel? Do you get excited? Like, oh yes. You might think, I think he made one big mistake. How do you feel about that? Are you disqualifying yourself? Thinking, oh, well, maybe that is for someone else, but maybe that's not for me. I know when I look at people who are really good at sharing Jesus, who are good at moving and shaking in the things of Jesus when you leave church, I just sometimes look at them and just think, how do they do that? I'm not a natural evangelist, I suppose. I'm not that person who walks around with the Why Jesus book in their handbag, ready for any person that wants to hear about Jesus. But we all carry the presence of God. We all have something to impart into someone's life that is sharing of him, that is sharing Jesus. We are the living tabernacles. So I want to speak to two groups of us here today, but just if you're not in that group, don't stop listening and zone out and think about the lunch. There's two groups of people, and there's this one group that you're that person. You completely disqualify yourself constantly of like, well, this is for someone else to do, but not me. I just merely get to watch the things of God and enjoy it, but I'm not actually a partaker in the things of God. So you disqualify yourself. That's not for me. So that's the one group of people. And the other group of people is, I want to speak to the ones of you here today who are feeling disheartened. You know, you say, I am filled with the Spirit. I know that. And I am so ready to share Jesus. But you know what? It's just so hard. I just don't see God moving all the time. And it's especially for those people that where there's people close to you in your family that you just think, do you know what? I don't know if it's ever going to happen. I don't know if I'm ever even going to get a moment where it feels like the environment or the culture is right for me to even speak about Jesus to my family. And that can leave us despondent and disheartened because we feel like hypocrites, because we can come here and we can share Jesus till the cows come home, and we can go and share with strangers about Jesus. But when it comes to the dinner table and it's in front of our loved ones, in front of our friends and family, we're silenced. We're stuck. We're despondent. So I want to speak to that group of people here today also. So, you're feeling disqualified. Well, I want to pull out verse 4 of today's reading, where it says, the Holy Spirit came. Not going to miss that one, are you? The Holy Spirit came and everyone was filled. Everyone was filled with the Holy Spirit. I don't know if you get that, but it says everyone. We know this, don't we? You probably hear it every Pentecost, that everyone was filled with the Holy Spirit. But people were filled for a purpose. People were filled for the Spirit to go somewhere, for something to happen. This isn't about spirituality of, oh, aren't we having a lovely moment? This is for it to go somewhere. Just as the Father sent the Son with a purpose and a goal in mind, the Son has sent the Spirit with a purpose to come and fill us with a purpose to be sent unto the nations. The Spirit came and filled everyone. And just as the disciples were gathered in this one place, you know, I think Jesus was really quite clever in giving them a hint of what is to come. Where he said earlier on in the Gospels, he said, I'm going to go somewhere soon. And the disciples were thinking, oh, great. He says, but I'm going, but don't worry, because another is coming. And you must wait for this other one to come. And he says, because you're going to carry on the works in which you've seen. But then he presses the hearts of the disciples and says, and you're going to see even greater things. And I don't know about you, but when I hear that, when I look at what Jesus done and the disciples done, and he says, but wait for the one, because when this one comes, the Holy Spirit, you're going to see greater things than what I read in the Gospels. I don't know about you, but that makes me want to wait. Oh, no. Come, Holy Spirit. Blind eyes opened. Demons driven away. Life set free. We're part of that more. The church. We've been filled with a purpose. And just like the disciples have met in this one place in Jerusalem, we also, as the body of Christ, meet in one place. We're not gathered just in this building. It's not just a gathering in the one place of, hey, we meet at St. Mary's on a Sunday. We meet in a life group in the week. Oh, I've got this mate that we meet for coffee. It's not about that gathering of one place, but there's a one place in which we are all gathered, which is unseen. It's something that is beyond now, that is through Jesus' death and resurrection that we are gathered into the one place of his kingdom. That through his death and resurrection, when he came up, he gathered all of creation, you and me and all of creation, into this one place of his kingdom. The kingdom of God is our one place of meeting, where all power and all authority lies, where we're all known as the children of God. And I often think about Jesus coming up. You know, he's died and he's gone, done something. The kids always ask me, what did Jesus do when he died? Did he go down into hell and kick death's butt? And I'm like, yes, he did. So imagine Jesus has just come back. He's kicked death's butt and he's coming out. He's risen from the grave and he's got creation on his arms. And I want you to imagine yourself on the arm of Jesus. You have been risen with Jesus Christ, and he brought you and he rose you up and he gathered you together and he said, all of you, come and meet in this one place of my kingdom. We are all gathered within the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. And everything in that kingdom is available to us today. You're on the arm of Jesus. You're his right-hand girl. You're his right-hand boy. You are on the arms of Jesus. And you know, in this kingdom, no one goes hungry. No one returns empty. So we're going to have communion today. We only have it once a month, don't we, here at 10:30. So that's a treat, isn't it? Get to have a bit of communion, which is amazing because it offers us a sign of this meeting in one place today. That we all share the one bread and we share of the one cup, but do you know none of you are going to return empty? At the Father's table, at the Father's banquet, there is always enough to go round. And when you were raised to new life with Christ, he doesn't say, oh, you can come in, but I'm only going to give you a little bit because you're not that great. He doesn't say that. He's like, come in because I want to fill you, because I'm your Father and I love you and I have a plan and a purpose for you. So we need to be in a place where we don't disqualify ourselves because Christ is continually qualifying us. It took everything for the Trinity to qualify you into this kingdom of God. It took them everything. So don't disqualify yourself because God, through Christ, only qualifies you. In Luke 11, we're reminded of this, where people are asking this question of, you know, that if we ask, we receive. And he says, Jesus says this, you fathers, you earthly fathers, if your child asks you for a fish, would you give him a snake? If your child honestly come up to you and said, Daddy, can I have an egg? Oh no, you have a scorpion. We wouldn't do that as earthly parents. So how much more would the Father give to those who ask of the Holy Spirit? If you ask for the Holy Spirit, you will get it. It's your inheritance. It's what you're made for. You've been created to live within the kingdom of God, filled to overflowing with the Holy Spirit. Everyone who asks is filled. So don't disqualify yourself because Jesus only qualified you on that cross and he brought you up out of the ground to new life and he says, you're my chosen one, you are righteous, you are holy, I have redeemed you and I have set you free and you have a rightful place at the banquet table of me. So don't disqualify yourself. You are filled to overflowing with the Holy Spirit. Expect the Holy Spirit to pour into you. Peter, as the people are filled with the Holy Spirit, he drives this home. You know, that people, the waiting in the room and people are filled with the Holy Spirit. And what's the first thing they do? They don't reach for their Why Jesus book. Peter does later in his first sermon of the church. But they just enjoy being filled with the Holy Spirit. And they're speaking of all the good things. The NIV translation says people are speaking in all different language of all the good things that the Lord has done, or all the wonders of the Lord. And you know, we're created to speak of the wonders of God. It's worship. That our daily life, we just speak of the goodness of God. And that's how we share Jesus. It's just being filled with the Holy Spirit. That we can share the wonders of God. And I love it how they say that in all different languages. You know, I can't speak your language in wherever you are placed. You can't speak my language wherever I am placed. You need to speak the language of your people that God has sent you to be saturated and to be around. Only you can do that. I can't do it for you, and you can't do it for me. We need to be a people where everyone is filled with the Holy Spirit. And Peter reminds them of this when they're like, are they drunk? What's going on? He's like, don't you remember This is what the prophet Joel said. He promised that this day would come, that in the last day, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Even on my servants, both men and women, I will pour out my spirit in those days and they will prophesy. I will pour out my spirit on all people. You know, this is before Jesus has ever even touched the earth. The promise was that he will pour out his spirit on all people, and he is pouring out his spirit on every single one of us here today. So don't disqualify yourself because you're qualified, because you're qualified in Christ. So believe that you can be filled. And I dare you. I remember someone asked a big evangelist once, what's the best thing you can do as an evangelist? And he said, when you wake up every morning, say, come Holy Spirit, come, fill me afresh, I pray. That's evangelism at its very bedrock. Come Holy Spirit, fill me afresh, I pray. So finally, those of you who feel like those people have given up. So I spoke about it earlier, that you're like, oh, I really want to share Jesus, but the family is just tough ground. My spouse, I think he really, really does hate Jesus, or she hates Jesus, or, you know, there's times I sit with some of my family and they're literally, I can see it in their eye, like, don't you dare talk about that Jesus. Oh no. We're in that place where we just feel like giving up. We feel like, do you know what, I think they're getting further away than closer in. Well, I want to draw us to just one word in today's reading, that it said that they're gathered in one place, and this one word, suddenly. Suddenly. I think that's a word for some of us today. Suddenly. That they were waiting, and they were waiting. These disciples, you know, it's not just a 5-minute ministry time where we've got to kind of press in for 5 minutes or anything like that. This is 10 days of waiting. And I sometimes wonder, you know, if they were just thinking, they weren't completely sure what they were waiting for either. Just this someone's going to come. And I just wonder if the door went a few times and they'd be like, oh no, it's just Peter. You know, they were waiting for something to come. And then suddenly, like a rushing wind, the Holy Spirit comes in. And I just wonder, for some of us, if that's a word for us today, that we're just tired and we think it's never going to happen. That we've been praying, we've been going about our day-to-day life, trying to be faithful. That we're doing all the things that we're told to do. I'm being filled with the Holy Spirit, and then I'm going out and I'm trying to share Jesus with the ones I love. Well, I want to say to you, suddenly the Holy Spirit. Don't give up. Press in. Keep pressing in. So those of you who are feeling despondent, the suddenlies of God is going to happen. Someone once shared with me, when I've been praying for my family day in, day out, you know, and just feeling tired, like it's never going to happen. And like other people have become Christians around me, but not my family. And they said to me, they said, Lydia, keep going. Because you don't know what lap you're on that wall of Jericho, in that person's life. But you know, the Lord knows exactly what lap you're on. So keep going. Press in. Wait for the suddenly of God. Expect for God to move. Like David in Psalm 27, be expectant for the things of the Lord in the land of the living. And I recently had this with my own granddad. He's in heaven now. But I'd been praying for him for ages. You only go prepared to share Jesus with someone. So I'm going to have coffee with granddad, and I'm going to share about Jesus. I have practiced the gospel message in 2 minutes in my head. I am ready for my granddad to become a Christian. And I would go there, and it would just all fall apart, because he would just talk about the war and all things, then he'd forget where he was at. And I just think, this is hopeless. He's not given me any hooks to talk about Jesus. And this just went on for a while. And if I'm honest, he got quite ill at the end of his life. And I just thought, Well, that's that. He was quite bitter about God. He was quite upset about Jesus. And there was a suddenly. Suddenly, one night, I get a phone call. And it's my mum, who is a Christian now. And it was my mum. She said, "Your granddad's given his life to Jesus." What? And I remember going around and visiting him. And he was literally glowing with the presence of Jesus. The suddenly happened. But it really didn't look like it didn't even feel like the Holy Spirit was doing a warm-up act on him. It was just from that to this. So I want to encourage you here today. Wait. Don't disqualify yourself. You're qualified. Wait within the kingdom of God. Be expectant for the things of the Holy Spirit, because you're suddenly, your spouse is suddenly, your children suddenly, your friends suddenly, your grandfather suddenly, whoever it is, the suddenly is coming. And I truly believe this. And when the suddenly comes, you're going to see a move of the kingdom that you're going to have to sprint to keep up with. I really believe we're in a season where people are going to have a suddenly in their life, and they're just going to accelerate within the kingdom of God, because he is restoring the years to all these people. People are coming to Christ with restored years. So be expectant. That's all I have today. Amen.